Thank you for coming along. My name's Alan Birchall. This is my Windows 8.1 folder overview, my corporate data on all my devices, insert session name here. Oh no, hang on, wait. Yeah, and all my devices session here. Formalities over. Welcome, thank you for coming very early in the morning, 8:15. At least it wasn't after the party tonight. So that is good. I hope you all got your coffee in there. My name's Alan Birchall, like I said. I'm a senior consultant with Avanade Australia. My day job is an IT Active Directory administrator for a large multinational company. As my night job, I am the owner in chief, only person who does stuff on the Group Policy Central website. The URL's there, grouppolicy.biz. If you like anything about group policy or do anything with group policy, I definitely suggest that you subscribe in any way, shape, or form to my website. I have my Twitter handle there as well. Of course, I tweet a lot about group policy and a lot of Microsoft stuff there. And I do have something to ask the audience today. I'm currently sitting at 997 followers on Twitter. I would like by the end of this session to be over 1,000. So if you don't follow me, but you are all interested about work folders in this session and group policy, definitely follow my Twitter account, and hopefully we can get it above 1,000, and that makes me really happy. The other thing is that you'll notice on the feedback forms this year, there's no way that you can actually provide a text-based comment. So I'll take text-based comment in public via Twitter. If you like that, use the hashtag WCL321, and so I know it's about this session, and I can get direct text-based feedback on the session. Of course, the session feedback's going to be really great, you know, top marks and all, of course, and there'll be no negative feedback whatsoever. Okay, moving along. What am I going to talk about? Well, this session, I'm going to go through what work folders is exactly. It is a brand new feature from Microsoft. They've never had this before. This is a V1 feature. Very important to remember that this is a V1 feature. This is a V1 feature, and it's being demoed on preview software. There are bugs. If it doesn't crash, I'll be very happy. But don't be surprised if along the way there's some minor problems that we might run into. All par for the course. By the time it's RTM, I've been given many assurances that all the problems that I've encountered along the way have been fixed by the time it's generally available. Got to be careful what terminology I use there. So I'll explain what work folders is. I'll show you how to deploy and configure work folders. So work folders has a server component and it has the client component. And there's a lot you can do to help set it up, make it a lot easier for your end users, and how you set it up on the server as well. So there's two components to it. So I'm going to go through how that's set up. And at the end of the session, what I want to be able to, for you, the goal for me is for you to have enough knowledge to start testing this in your own environment. So you're going to be able to download the 2012 R2 preview. You're going to be able to throw it on a machine somewhere in your organization or even on your laptop or somewhere and be able to test this product in your own environment, all right? This is not a hard product to set up. If you sat down and really tried, you could easily get it up and running by the time you got the OS installed in maybe 5-10 minutes. All right, but it's a really powerful feature of Windows 8.1. And I think your end users will get a lot of benefit because this is really about empowering your end users to be able to access the files they want. So right now, who in the organization has Exchange deployed? Hands up, most of you. Who's familiar with when Outlook connects to an Exchange server, you know, when it connects to the Exchange server, you set up a DNS alias, maybe it's called mail.exchange.local internal domain name, and it hits the Exchange server, and the Exchange server says, nope, not me, you're over there. And Outlook goes, oh, thank you, and it promptly connects to the correct mail server. Similar concepts with work folders. Another similar concept with Exchange is the auto-discover. Who's here familiar with the auto-discover DNS entry for Exchange? A lot of hands. Very similar concept as well. You will see some themes through work folders where they've actually taken some of the best ideas from Exchange and how to set up the client and they've used that with work folders, all right, to make the experience for your users as seamless as possible and as easy to set up as possible, all right? Because if you're deploying a product to end user devices and they're their home machines, you've got to make that really easy. So hands up if anyone in your organization has installed any of these products on the computers and in your company and you just happened to notice it was there. I'm seeing a few hands. A lot of hands actually. Keep your hands up if you thought, this is great. This is, from a compliance point of view, absolutely perfect for everything in my organization, and I'm not going to have any problems with securing the data on these machines whatsoever. I don't see any hands. Very good. Okay. Work folders is a lot like these products here. The ability to synchronize your work files on your local hard drive to a corporate file server, your internal corporate file server. Rather than hosting the copy of those files on a cloud-based provider, and of course we all perfectly trust our cloud-based providers to be very secure and never have any data leaks, and there's absolutely no problems whatsoever with data sovereignty or anything like that, and we absolutely trust our data in the cloud all the time. Azure. A lot of organizations do trust cloud-based providers, and that's totally fine by them. They've obviously looked at the risks of putting data in the cloud, and they're happy to host those data with third-party organizations. Of course, some organizations aren't comfortable with that, and they want to be able to host that data internally themselves. Well, Workfolder allows you to do that. You're allowed to have file synchronization with your on-premise file server from anywhere on the internet. All right? What's missing off this list? What big file synchronization product is missing on this list? SkyDrive Pro. SkyDrive Pro is? Yeah, but also SkyDrive. Of course, SkyDrive is not called SkyDrive. It's to be determined. I don't know what it is. But it's like SkyDrive, basically. It's SkyDrive where you host the back-end server rather than paying Microsoft. Well, you don't pay for SkyDrive, and you probably don't. You could pay for SkyDrive Pro, whether or not you host it on-premise or off-premise. But it's like SkyDrive Pro. But you don't need SharePoint for SkyDrive. You need SharePoint for SkyDrive Pro. You just need a Windows file server for work folders. Okay. So what do you need? What do you need in your organization to get started with work folders? It's a new role in the Windows file server in 2012 R2. Who here has file servers in their organization? Yes, most of you. I would hope most of you. Okay. It does need to be a 2012 R2 file server. All right, so you can either upgrade your existing file server, of course you do that after GA of Windows Server 2012 R2. Or you can download the preview now and start testing it internally in your organization right now. All right? That's pretty simple. One file server. It's a new file synchronization protocol over HTTPS. The clients are not synchronizing using SMB from the workstation to the file server. It is a new protocol. It runs over HTTPS, which basically HTTPS being the universal firewall bypass port on every organization's network in the world, means that pretty much you'll be able to access your files from anywhere in the world, sitting behind corporate firewalls or out on the internet. However, because a copy of the file resides on a file server, you can still access those files via a standard SMB file share. Which means if you have a Windows XP computer, you could still technically access for the next 9 months until end of support, and I would never recommend after that. But for the next 9 months, you could access the work folder files from your legacy workstations in your organization, meaning you could have clients deployed out in the public, at home, private people, their personal devices, but they could still access it. So there's no real need to deploy work folders in your organization. It's better if you do, but you don't have to. It works with other file server roles, file server resource manager, all right? So it works better together. There's a lot you can do with other file server roles, and I'll hopefully show you that in this session, how it works better together. This is a little bit of a gotcha. It requires locally attached disk to the file server. So what do I mean by locally attached disk? I mean the disk needs to present itself as a LUN to the operating system. You cannot have a work folder configured, have the work folder server here, have a file server, a separate file server, and have work folder work via an SMB file share, like, you know, Hyper-V does via SMB file share. You know how you can remotely host your VHD files on an SMB file share? Doesn't do that. The disks do need to be locally attached. Now, that can be iSCSI, that can be SAS, that can be, you know, disks in the heart, in the server itself. But they do need to present as a local LUN. Like I said before, though, this is a V1 product, all right? And of course, Microsoft now, their cadence is a lot faster. So they said a lot that this is only a V1 product and we hear your feedback. So who knows what's going to be in the next version? You also have this concept of having to set up a new type of share, right? We have SMB file shares, but now we have work folder shares. You configure this within the server manager. You configure who has access to that share. It does require a public or private PKI. As I mentioned before, it's a new file synchronization protocol over HTTPS. That, of course, needs certificates. You can use an internal certificate infrastructure, okay? But if your devices are going to be home devices, if they're going to be devices that are personal devices, they're probably not going to trust your corporation certificate services. So you probably do need to buy publicly signed certificates for this to work. And lastly, the file shares need to be configured to have specific groups specified for them. So there'll be folder synchronization file share 1, and it'll be group 1. And the users in that group will automatically get assigned to that share. So the users do need to be a member of a group for work folders to work. Okay, file synchronization solutions. This is just a quick comparison here. Obviously, the comparisons are made. Someone mentioned before SkyDrive Pro. SkyDrive right now is a single, one user to one account system. It's a one-to-one mapping. A single user cannot set up multiple work folders on their machine at home. They can only set up one at a time. There's no collaborative sharing of work folders. Again, Microsoft has said this is a V1 product. So I have no idea what's happening in V2 or VNext of this product. Maybe not. They'll bring in team collaboration. For team collaboration, you would use something like SkyDrive or SkyDrive Pro or whatever it's going to be called. And when you're looking at something like folder redirection and client-side caching, it, of course, uses SMB file share, which means that if your workstation is going to synchronize to the file server over a file share, you have to use SMB, which means you probably need to set up direct access or a VPN tunnel or something like that. Excuse me. Hello. Yes. Hello. What are you doing?
Alan.
Yes.
Pete.
Yes.
I've got a problem. I've just had a call from work. They've tasked me with a private project, a side project, on quantum bubble hard drives.
You know I'm presenting. Yeah.
Oh, sorry, you guys didn't hear that.
Oh, quantum bubble.
Quantum.
Is that like bubble RAM?
No, totally different technology. Okay. Anyway, the kids are sick.
Yep.
I've got to be home to stay with them, but
right.
I can't use the corporate SharePoint site to store the data because the admins have got access to this. Is a private thing. We can't let these people know. It's got to be something that I can encrypt. I can make sure. I can't use Dropbox or any of these other. Did you know the terms of agreement for Dropbox say that they've got access to all your stuff?
Terrible, isn't it?
So I'm.
It's okay.
Is there something that I can do to enable me to have stuff stored securely at work, but work from home and
access your files?
That's the one.
Why, yes, Pete, I think there is a solution.
What?
Let's just check. Do you have a computer or a device?
I do have a computer.
Hang on.
I do have a computer, yep.
Is it a Windows 8.1 domain joined computer?
No, I'm working from home. I'm not going to have a domain join machine at home.
Oh, right. Not domain join. Okay, that's okay. I've still got more work folder supported clients on the list. You're running Windows 8.1 RT. You picked up one of those.
No,
really...
I was considering the deal, but...
It was a really good deal.
Touch cover?
Touch cover? Oh, okay. All right. You didn't want that,
not,
that tech
not,
end
not
deal.
Not right. Yeah,
so
no.
Windows 8.1 RT will support work folders when it comes out? Okay.
Okay.
But do you have Windows 7?
Oh, look, that's so 3 years ago. No.
Oh, you don't have Windows 7. Okay. All right. Well, maybe. Do you have an iPad?
Are you swearing at me? Honestly. This is a Microsoft event, is it not?
I know it's a Microsoft event, but Microsoft have said that they're going to support work folders on the iPad.
Isn't that like sleeping with the enemy? Anyway.
It's no, I working
don't,
together.
I don't have an iPad. I'm one of the few. I realise that I am a bit of a minority, but no, I don't have an iPad.
Bet you have some managers that have iPads, though, don't you?
Yes, we do.
Yeah, they've got those leather-bound cases, which cost more than the iPad itself. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, hang on.
I have one more on the list. Do you have a Windows 8.1 non-domain joined computer that you can
hang
use?
Hang on, let me work this out. I don't drink coffee and it's morning. I'm not a morning person.
I do drink coffee, so hang on while you do that.
Non-domain... No, that'll work. That'll work. Yeah, no, I've got a... Yeah, no, that'll work.
On a work group, at home?
Yeah, at home, absolutely.
Absolutely. Okay, let me demo something for you and we'll see if it's suitable for your situation.
Okay.
Here's a computer that I use from home. It's a home computer. Do you recognise this home computer?
Oh, it looks like mine's only got two kids on it.
Yeah, they're
and they don't have red hair.
Yeah, they're my kids.
That would be it.
Yeah.
That would be it.
Yeah,
okay.
I hope they're my kids. Yeah. I hope they're not yours.
No,
so
definitely not.
Let me show you how easy and simple it is first thing in the morning to set up work folders. So I'm on my...
That's a big ask first thing in the morning.
What this is, though, for your benefit, is it's a Windows 8.1 non-domain join computer. All right? So when Windows 8.1 comes out, everyone with Windows 8.1 will have this option. If I right-click on the Start button, woohoo, I can go to Control Panel. Whey, I love it. And I go Work Folders. Who's here actually noticed there's a new Control Panel icon called Work Folders? Not many. Okay, there is. There's a new icon called Work Folders in Control Panel. All right, so you go there, set
right.
up Work Folders. Can you remember that?
Control Panel,
Work Folders.
Set up work folders.
All right. First thing it will ask you when you're at home is what your email address is. So I am going to type in an email address. So email address there. So for the benefit of you and the
audience. That's not my email address.
Yes, this is my computer, remember? My kids.
Oh, your kids. Yeah. Sorry. Go here. Yeah.
Okay. For the benefit of you out in the audience and for you, Pete, I have specified an internal domain name there that's not externally routable. I'm using this in a demo environment. What you would put in there would be your external email address. Okay, you use similar to how Exchange does auto-discover. So remember before I talked about how Exchange does auto-discover. It takes the last part, it uses, and you'll see in a sec, the last part of your email address, so it needs to be publicly routable, to discover, to basically find where the user is in Active Directory. Okay, but for the purposes of this demonstration, it's an internal domain name. So I put in your email address, actually mine.
Okay.
And now it's going to ask you for a URL.
Right.
Really simple, short URL that's going to be really easy to remember.
You do realize I'm not a morning person.
I realise that.
That's a really
easy URL to remember. I'm sure all our users in our organisations that we support would have absolutely no problem whatsoever remembering that URL off the top of their head. Yes?
Yes?
No.
Is there something better you can give me?
Just stick with me here. Stick with me. All right. But what I will say, though, is by the time this is GA, by the time Windows 8.1 is GA, if you did have to type in this manual URL, you will not have to type in that sync/1.0. That is only something you'll need to do when you're setting this product up in the preview release. So they'll automatically append that to the URL you're entering there. But also notice, and I got it wrong. I'm glad I noticed that. It's HTTPS. All right, so it is
You're
a HTTPS.
You're screwing with my head, mate. You keep changing the URL.
Oh, just bear with me here. I go next. All right, now you have to provide a username and password. All right, so hopefully you can remember your username and password. You can remember
but this
your
is
email.
A home machine. This
is your domain username and password.
Okay, gotcha. Right.
I'm now authenticating over digest authentication. It's over HTTPS, so it's authenticated, to my work folder server. Bang, it tells you where do you want to store your work folders. In the release preview, it doesn't give you an option, but by the time it's GA, you will have an option to move that to an alternative drive, but I'm just going to click next there. Has some security policies, which I'll go through soon. You just tick, I accept. It's like next, next, finish.
And don't, hey. Don't bother reading it, just click
don't,
I accept.
Yeah, don't read it.
Yeah, okay, cool.
And then you go set up work folders, and ta-da, it's done. Now, you remember every one of those steps?
No.
Which step did you have trouble remembering?
The URL,
oh. Okay, well, let's
Am
just...
Am I alone here? Are there other non-morning people here?
Okay.
Thank you.
Let me just go back then and I'll stop work folders. I'll go back and I'll show you how to set it up a lot easier.
I do apologise for interrupting Alan's session.
Oh, dear.
Please don't mark him down for that.
Terrible. Okay, so what I'm going to do, I have to do two things. So what I'm going to do now is remove that prerequisite to actually specify that URL. And I do need to do two things for that to happen. Number one, I do need to set up a DNS record, and the DNS record needs to be work folders. And you notice there that the DNS record is workfolders.corp2.local. The email address was at corp2.local, so it will automatically put work folders in front of the email domain name part, the domain name part of your email address, and look for work folders and whatever is after the at symbol automatically. So I'm going to put that in there, and then give it the IP address of the work folder server. Okay. The other thing is that this is a course running on HTTPS, which means there are certificates involved. So I know this is a little bit hard, Pete, but just bear with me here for a second. All right.
You know, I'll be asking you afterwards.
Oh, yeah. I have a Twitter account. You can follow me and ask me on that.
I already do.
Oh, okay. Oops. I should follow you back, shouldn't I? Whoops. All right. So I actually have pre-installed two SSL certificates here. I've just done this from my internal SSL PKI environment there. Let me zoom in on that. Okay, I have server03.corp2.local, which is the actual name of the file server itself that has work folders installed, and I have workfolders.corp2.local. So what I want to do is I want to change the SSL certificate that's in use on my work folder server. So you notice before the URL I put in was HTTPS server03. Now I'm going to swap that to work folders. Now, this is not running as a web server in IIS, it's running as a application, I think it's a .NET application, or one of those fancy developer term applications. It's basically not running IIS. So to change the SSL certificate, you actually have to use a .NET SH command. So here's one I typed earlier, because of course you all want me to stand here and just type out randomly long strings and everything. First thing I'll show you is if I go to .NET SH HTTP show SSL cert, it shows the certificate that's currently installed. Now, how do I know what certificate's currently installed? Because it doesn't actually tell me the name there. You notice there that there is a certificate hash. All right, that's it there. So that's the hash of the certificate. I'm just going to read the first four characters of the hash there, which is DA84. And then I'm just going to go into my certificate store here, and I'm going to go, I'm pretty sure it's this one, so I'll just double check. I'll go down, and there's a thumbprint. And you also notice in the thumbprint of the certificate is DA84. So I know that this server03 certificate is the one I've currently got installed on my computer, but I don't want that one, I want the other one. All right, so if I go to this one here, and I go to details, and I go to the thumbprint as well, it's 924E, and it's a really long string. I don't want to type that because I'm sure I'll make a typo. So here's one I typed earlier, huh? But before I type that in, I have to go and actually clear the SSL certificate configuration. So I go in here, it's NetSH, HTTP, delete, SSL cert, IP port. So basically, you're just clearing all the SSL certificate configuration. And I'm going to copy this. So this is the same. I'm importing a certificate. I'm saying I want to import the certificate with this hash. The app ID remains the same. Okay, that's for the work folders. I'm just going to paste that in there. Bang. I've now swapped the SSL certificate to work folders. You will have to have one certificate in your organization that is this work folders certificate folder share. So now that I've done that, I hope for you, this will make it a bit easier. All right, I'm gonna set up work folders again. Again, yes, you do need to specify your email address if you're not domain joined. All right, email address in there.
That's yours again, isn't it?
Yes, this is mine.
Okay.
Remember, not yours. Okay, I'm gonna go next here. Watch what happens. It asks for a URL. Hang on. It shouldn't do that, but I know why. Hang on, I forgot one more step. I need to clear the DNS cache because it currently doesn't know. All right, just flush the DNS cache. Let's do that again. My email address.
Because they're your kids.
Because they're my kids, yes. Boom.
Hey, it didn't ask for the URL.
That's right, Pete, because I just configured work folders to automatically discover the work folder server, so it doesn't need to type the URL in there.
I'm sure after I wake up in a couple of hours, I'll be...
I'm sure you'll be fine.
This is good.
Now, that's okay. Now go off and set up your work folder so you can work on your bubble ramp, bubble...
Quantum bubble.
Quantum bubble...
No. Hard drives.
Hard drives. Okay.
I'll be in touch later.
Okay.
Thanks, Alan.
Pete.
Sorry, folks.
All right, yeah. Who's ever had a user like that in their organisation? Yes. All right, so now that I've set up work folders, I'm going to accept these policies again. What does it actually look like? Well, in the control panel, this is the work folder status pane. So rather than going to work folders instead of hitting the setup button, you'll now see this. But in Windows Explorer, you'll now notice that there's a folder here called work folders, similar to documents, my pictures, and everything like that. So I now have a folder on my local hard drive. If I go to the properties of that, it is actually on my local hard drive. It's not like some cache or anything like that. And it's synchronizing now with my work folder server. So it's now, my work folder server is, you know, one I've configured earlier, is configured to go to eWorkFolders. So notice it's got the username there at corp.corp2. So if you have multiple domains in your organization, you can have unique folders for each user in the unique folders. You're not gonna have name conflicts. I go in the data folder, and the folder's there empty. So what I'm gonna do now, and I really hope this works, is I'm gonna create a new file here on the left, on my left, on your, yeah, your left too, cool. I'm gonna create a file on the left here, and you're gonna see it appear on the file server. So this is work folders getting the file. Hey, I got a new file, and in almost straight away replicating it to the server. Yay, that worked, yay! Okay, so there's a file there. New text file, let's go new bitmap image. Boom, there it is. So I'm now replicating, this is push replicating it from my client to the file server. And this is on a standard file server, so it's just like a data share, it's not some custom database, it's just data on a file server. Okay, also notice though, these files, they're green. There's a new concept in work folders now called enterprise control. So basically these files, if you notice when I set it up, I said, yes, I allow these files to be encrypted. Now the reason that these files are encrypted is so it has enterprise control. Now a user can go in there and remove enterprise control on these files, but after 24 hours, enterprise control will come back down and re-encrypt those files. But what does the enterprise control do? Basically, the enterprise control means that these files are encrypted, the private key is held on this machine and nowhere else. But when you send a selective remote wipe, and I'll go into that pretty soon, to that machine, it will clear the private key that's required to decrypt those files. Basically means that it makes those files inaccessible. It doesn't necessarily delete them, because of course if you delete them, you can a user who's savvy could probably undelete them, but if you clear the private key, you can't get the data back even if the files are deleted. The files will still be there, but you can't access them because the private keys are gone, all right, which is very important. And this only removes the enterprise control files on the machine. You're not going to wipe the entire iPad that the manager has when he thinks he's lost it, but he's actually just left it in his briefcase or in the back of the car. You're only going to clear the enterprise control. It's a selective remote wipe, and that's something new with 8.1. So you notice here on the left is the wizard in the step in the wizard where you actually specify where encrypting work folders needs to be set up, and it also says you must have a lock screen. This is, again, very similar to Exchange and Exchange ActiveSync. mandatory security controls that you need to have in place on your device when you go set it up. Now, this is the device the user has. It's their personal device. They get, on the right, a prompt that you would have seen before saying, that's fine, you can connect to our corporate organization, but you have to accept these terms and conditions, just like their phone with ActiveSync. You have to have that four-digit PIN. If you want ActiveSync for your corporation, you have to be able to support remote wipe. Same thing. The user is in control. The user accepts those policies. Okay? Selective remote wipe. Now, the next version of Intune, which absolutely no information has come out whatsoever except for this one screenshot, I think. URL's down there, so I'm not doing anything that shouldn't be shown. You will be able to implement selective remote wipe if you have Intune subscription in your organization. So if you manage your computers via Intune, great for non-domain joined machines, you can do selective remote wipe that way. You can also do selective remote wipe using SCCM 2012R2. Right, so they're the products you need installed if you want to support selective remote wipe. So I mentioned there's a whole bunch of clients that you can use to use work folders. One is a domain join machine, and if your computer's domain join, you then have the option of group policy to configure work folders for the users, whether you make it really simple for them or make it just mandatory for them to set it up. You can also use SCCM and Intune. I showed you before how you can set up URL-based, so you actually send the user an email. This is the URL you type in here. We haven't set up the external. Maybe you do that just for your pilot program before you set up the external work folders DNS records. Maybe you just really hate your users and you want to subject them to a lot of pain and have them to type in long URLs. Works for me. Or you use the auto-discovery, which I showed you before, how to set it up. So there's a lot of ways you can actually configure work folders. So you can either configure it for them or you can let them configure it. Excuse me. So how does it actually work? All right, so work folders is a HTTPS solution, but your file server is not, and it sits behind a corporate firewall. So what you will need to do is have a reverse proxy, and Windows Server 2012 R2 now has a reverse web proxy role that allows you to reverse publish websites, including work folders, on the perimeter edge. So it's a role within the file server itself that you can use, and you can use that to reverse proxy your file server. Your file server has to have a DNS name, and you notice here for this example here, I've got HTTPS workfolders.corp.com. SSL certificate. So the SSL certificate will need to be installed on the internal file server, all right? Because that's where the clients on the internet will be actually connecting to via the web proxy. Clients on the inside will connect directly, all right? So you'll kind of probably need to have split brain DNS where you have the external DNS records pointing to your external firewall and your internal DNS records pointing to your work folders file server. Excuse me, I've got a bit of a cold. I apologize. Right, you can use Kerberos authentication or Digest authentication. So if you're within the organization, it's not going to, and you're logged on as a domain user, you're not going to get authenticated at all. If you're external organization, use Digest, which is what you saw before. It asked you for a username and password. You can also use ADFS, which means you can have form-based authentication, which means you also have the option to start implementing authentication around two-factor authentication and authentication on ADFS based on whether or not the device that connecting to work folders is part of a lightweight, or what is it, workplace domain join device, whether or not the machine has been domain joined. So now I'm going to show you how to set up work folders on a server and actually how you configure it using group policy, because I'm a group policy MVP and I wouldn't want to do a session without some sort of group policy involvement in it. All right. So here I am logged on to my corporate machine. This is a domain join machine, and lo and behold, I'm logged on as John. John doesn't have work folders installed, but we want him to have work folders installed. But of course, he goes in and he starts typing in work folders here, and he goes manage work folders, and it's a right royal pain, because then he has to go set up and he has to type his email. We don't want him to do any of this. This is his corporate computer. We want it just to all happen automatically. So I'm going to go to domain controller here. I'm going to open up group policy. I'm going to enable this group policy here, but I'll show you what's in it. Here's one I prepared earlier. So user configuration, policies, administrative templates, Windows computers. I'm just going to scroll down right to the bottom here, work folders. Specify work folder settings. There it is there, work folder URL. So that's the URL that the user would have had to type in. You're saying, no, use this URL, so they don't have to type that in. I'm not going to tick force automatic setup just yet. I'm just going to show you what can happen. But basically, this policy is now enabled, and it's saying configure work folders for the user. Now, I've enabled that group policy. I have. Very good. I'm going to back here, and of course, I have to do a GP update. I'm going to have to log off. So I'm just logging back on. So now what I've done is I've configured work folders, but it hasn't actually set work folders up for John. What it's done is it's configured it so when John goes in there and says, well, I'd like to have work folders enabled, maybe he's heard about it and he's, oh, I'd like to have this work folders thing that I heard so much about. It's like, you can have it, it's just not set up. You go into work folders and I go set up work folders and... Please work. Work. I did say this was preview software, didn't I? What the heck? Oh, I'm so sorry. I didn't. Well, if they can stuff up the demo for the keynote, I suppose I'm all... All right, I'm going to just do this one more time. I hope this works. This doesn't work, I'll continue on. Sorry about this. I've not come across this problem before. Usually it just crashes. It's much better when it crashes because then you just keep on going. It doesn't actually just not work. So I specified the work folders URL on the group policy. So what I want that to do, and hopefully it will do it this time, is I just go set up, and it won't ask for an email address, it won't ask for a URL, it'll just go accept these security policies and you're golden. It won't even ask for a username or password because the person is domain joined, so it can use Kerberos authentication to authenticate the user using single sign-on. And if I get the password right, oh dear. I've done this like 100 times and I've never had it do that. All right, last chance. Last chance, work, damn it, work. Oh, all right. Yeah, well, I've already swapped the certificate over, so let's just one more double check. This should have said work folders, not server 03. Yeah, it says work folders. All right, let me just go back in here. Let's pretend that worked and it didn't ask for the email address or URL. Let's just pretend. Use our imagination. All right, what I'm going to do is just go in and see if this works. I'm going to force the configuration now. It will require me to... Forcing the configuration will require another GP update. This is preview software. I know I've said that 100 times, but please, you know, forgive me for... Refresh, force... Enabled. Okay. So I'm just going to do, now hopefully. Any questions about work folders so far? Yep. Android support. Okay. Microsoft are aware for the desire for people to support Android. It's definitely not going to come out straight away. I think they've, if you go to the TechEd North America sessions and listen to what they say about Android support, it's strongly hinted, but there's nothing committed. Okay? Certainly not straight away, but iOS for iPad definitely is coming, and Windows 7. I'll show you that later. I have that. hopefully. I've got 34 minutes. Hopefully I'll be able to get to that point and show you. To answer your question very briefly, it's a lot like Exchange, where Exchange has kind of a map of where everyone is in where everyone's home file, home Exchange server is. It's the same with Active Directory. There is an Active Directory attribute that I'll show you how to configure. And it actually says, no, your file server, work folder server is here. And it actually directs them to them. Okay. Okay. Wow. That's a great bug. I'm going to reboot. Oh, hey, there it crashed. That's what it usually does. Oh, very good. What am I up to? I have to be over 100 by now, don't I? 1,000? Whoa, 1,022, thank you. Now I can say I have, what, a 10-to-1 ratio of followers to following. I arbitrarily limit myself to 100 followers, so please don't be annoyed if I don't follow you back. It's just there's a lot of background radiation noise that I try to avoid. Okay, has that machine rebooted? Hopefully it has. So the group policy, it looks like it has now been set up to arbitrarily configure work folders for the user. So hopefully, preparing windows, prepare faster, please. Oh, there's an error message. It's completed successfully. Oh, boy. All right. Wow. All right. I'm not going to just drag this out. I've set up group policy every other time I've done this, it's worked. But basically what it does is it just goes in and it configures work folders for the user because it's got that enable automatic setup option there, and it just configures it for the user, all right? They don't even have to go through the wizard. It steps through all those settings of email address and the URL and accept the security policies and everything like that. All right. So someone said multiple servers. Glad you asked. Why have multiple servers? Well, of course, you might have lots of work folders in your organization, and one more file server is a bit of a risk. So you can have multiple work folder servers within your organization, all right, which allows you to scale out. You can have a work folder server in a branch, you can have a work folder server in head office, departmental. Maybe you have different security requirements for each of the work folder servers. So you have your managers, your CEO's work folder server, which has some more stringent security policies on it, or maybe less stringent security policies on it for the CEO, because they don't like security. But the problem then is you've got lots of work folder servers, and how the heck does the user know what work folder servers is theirs? And how do you keep it easy? Well, the solution is there is a new schema added to Active Directory. You do not have to apply this schema to Active Directory. You do not have to have 2012 R2 domain controllers in your organization for this to work. You just need the 2012 R2 schema, and it adds this attribute to the user, MSDS sync server URL. All right, and how would it work? Well, the user would say, hey, I'm Joe from Contoso. Where do I need to have work folders? So it goes to HTTPS, workfolders.contoso.com, hits the reverse proxy server. The reverse proxy server says it to the primary server. So this is the one where workfolders.contoso.com would resolve to. It looks up Active Directory and says, hey, I'm not your work folder server. Your work folder server is server sync 3. Sends that message back to the client. The client goes, oh, I'm on sync 3. And it goes, okay, let me find sync 3, and then it tries to connect directly to the sync server 3. If sync server 3 were to fail or disappear or it would no longer host the work folder share on that, the client would go back to workfolders.contoso.com and say, I can't find sync 3, have I moved? And it might say, yes, you have moved, you're now over here, and it would reconnect again. Basically, what this means is for the end users, you can move the work folder servers for the end users, similar to how you can move them on Exchange, and they don't have to do anything. It just reconnects them the next time they launch work folders. So now I'm going to show you how to do a multi-server setup. And freaking hell, I need John working. Okay. I might have to do some of this on the fly. Oh, John's not working. I know why John's not working. Why is John not working? No, I know why he's not working. Because I didn't freaking set up. Okay, I know why it's not working. I didn't set up the sync folder share. So right now, the only sync folder share on this is called Work Folders 97. What I should have done, and I'm going to do this really quickly. Sorry about this. You can always download. John has a redirected folder, and this is something I should have... Oh, I can't believe I forgot this. John has my documents directory, all right? So you can actually have work folders work with the existing users' my documents directory. John's my documents directory is sitting on a folder called eUsers, and of course, if you have a look at eUsers on this computer, eUsers, John, and there's his documents directory, and there's his my documents folder. So what I'm going to say is set up work folders so it actually overlaps their existing my documents directory. I'm not going to use that at domain name alias because folder redirection doesn't use the at domain name. I'm only going to synchronize the documents folder. Okay, what's the share going to be called? Users 96. There is a bug in the preview, which means that once you've created a share, you can't actually recreate the share with the same name. So I've done this a few times. So there is a group, and this one is going to be, John is a member of the Work Folders 2 users group, not the Work Folders users group. I'm going to hit OK there. So I've specified a security group. I'm going to tick that option again to say encrypt. I'm just going to create. And this just goes off, creates a share. The share's created. OK. 96. There we go. John. So John and Peter are both a member of the security group for this new share that I just set up. That's how you set up a work folder share. Now if I go into work folders, I'm kicking myself that I forgot that. Now I will have to log off and log back on because, of course, it needs to reconnect, so what I've done now is I'm setting up John. John is still connected to server 03. Server 03 has the alias of work folders. But I have another server in the organization, and for the sake of this demo, it's DC05, and I'd never recommend that you set work folders up on your domain controller, but you can, it's for a demo, so you know, you understand what I'm doing. So I'm really hoping that this will be all green. Woohoo! That was my bad. I apologize. I'm not going to blame the product for that. I forgot to set up the share. I got ahead of myself. But basically, there you go. Work folders are set up automatically for the user. It tells them how much space they've even got available on the file server. But he's now connected to work folders. And if I go to his work folder directory here, he's got a couple of... it's now a subdirectory called data. They're going to be tweaking these two folders here so they don't appear in the final version, I've been told. But I can create a new document here. I'll create a bitmap image here, and then I'll go over to the file server, and I'll go to the data share, and there's that bitmap image has already appeared. And I can do another bitmap image to show you that I didn't trick you then. There you go, bang. So right now, John is connected to server 03. Don't want him to connect to server 03. I want him to connect to DC01. How do I do that? Okay, I'm going to go back to the domain controller. I'm opening up Active Directory Users Computers. Going to John, attribute editor. You could do this via PowerShell as well. But, you know, I'm a point, click, click, next, finish person sort of guy. MSDS sync server URL. Here it is. This is the attribute you need to edit. Here's the URL I typed earlier. And you set that attribute up. And I go add. So I've now configured this user to say, this is my work folder server. The user is not going to transit to that work folder server until the location he or she is currently pointing to is removed. All right, it's sticky. All right, that's something you need to keep in mind. So if you are migrating a whole bunch of work folder servers, you will need to stop or disable that share for them to migrate across. Another way you could do that is have them reset up work folders. Now, did I hit OK on that? I don't know if I hit OK or cancel on that. Let me just go back. I did. OK, very good. I'm not having a good day. So, DC05, this server here, just happens to be in my domain controller. also has a work folder share. Peter and John, same work folders group. So I have now two work folders shared with the same group configured, but I want to push them now to this other work folder server. I'm going to bring up, and the folder at the moment's empty. So I'm just going to go stop work folders. It says, no, you can't stop work folders. It's managed by group policy. It's like, yes, okay, fair enough. But what it's just doing is I stop work folders, I sign out, I sign back in, and it resets up work folders. But then it goes through the discovery process. It hits the work folders server, workfolders.corp2.local, as you saw me set up. And then it says, no, you're not here, you're over there, and it sends it to DC01. I think I might have typed, yeah, I did type that password wrong. So right now it's going through the process, hey, bang, look at that, and it created those two folders. So I know it's now redirected that user. The user didn't do anything except log it off and log back on. Notice it has 125 gig free, which tells me that it's this server because this drive here has 125 gig available. And there's a new work folder. So I've now had two servers in my organization and I've redirected my user by updating that attribute. You do have to be careful. You do have to make sure you migrate the content, all right? It's up to the work folder server to make things look, come on, why aren't you working? John. Oh, man. It did make it because it just made that folder then. It is connected. I'm not going to waste time troubleshooting that. It's a preview software. Sorry again. Obviously, it's not quite right. It did create these two folders. Look at the time there. It created those two folders. I saw it created it. So it has redirected it to the server, and it is that server because it says it's 125 gig available, but for some reason, it's just not pushing that config. Something to bear in mind, though, is if you are going to do that overlap with documents to work folders, you have to educate the users. So you have to be very careful if you do that, because they're going to see the file in their work folder directory, and they're going to see the file in their documents directory, and they might think it's two different files. They'll delete it from the documents directory, but then it takes the client about 5 minutes to actually poll the work folder server and realize that that file's been deleted, and then delete it on the local machine. So they might delete it from the documents directory and go, oh, that's still in my work folders folder. It's great. It's okay. It's still there. But then it disappears, and then half an hour later they go back, and they go, oh, I've deleted the file. I thought I had a copy there. So you do have to make sure that you're aware, that educate the users that there is that bit of an overlap. And I don't know why that's not working. Anyway, moving right along. So work folders with file server roles. So I mentioned before that it works with existing file server roles. So ever since like 2003 R2, there's been file server resource manager, which allows you to do really funky things with your file servers. Well, work folders works with those products better together. It's an additional file server role. So what can you do? You can implement file server per user quotas. So you might have a terabyte allocated to your work folder server, but you only want the users to have 1 gigabyte available, 100 megabytes available to synchronize. What happens if they put a gigabyte in their work folder server on their local workstation? They'll get an error message. It will let them copy it into there locally, but it won't synchronize that file up to the server because there's not enough space available to it. Notice in the work folders control panel that it did tell you them how much space you do have available. You can do file server screening. So you might, like, these are work folders. They're work folders. Why do I need to have MP3s or video files in my work folders? It's unnecessary to synchronize that sort of file information. So you can implement a file server filter. Work folders is smart enough to know that that file server filter is applied on the work folder server, and the client will then know as soon as you drop the file in there that it shouldn't be, that file is blocked on the file server, and it'll give a user a warning saying access is denied on this file. It'll allow the user to copy it locally because it's on the local hard drive, but it won't synchronize the file. File server deduplication, of course, you can use deduplication on file servers, so it works with that as well. All right, so you can reduce the size of the information in these work folders. So for clustering, you can cluster a work folder role. Okay, so you can have that set up in a cluster. So that's where if you want high availability of your work folder server, you can have it in a cluster, so you can fail over between two different servers. For offsite disaster recoverability, you can use DFS file replication. You can't have a work folder server on one end of that replication and a work folder server on the other end of that replication. You can replicate the data to another file server. You can kind of have it sitting there as a cold, warm standby. If your main file server died on site A and you wanted to spin it up on site B, you would have to go back in and set up that work folder file share. The data's already there, though, so most of the heavy lifting of that data isn't going to matter. And you can use file server classification. So content, so a user might put some content on that work folder share that is highly sensitive, and maybe you want to do something special with that. Excuse me. So one of those special tasks could be, if it's a file that has confidential information in there, you might use Active Directory Rights Management. So a lot of questions I get is, the user puts a file in there, how do I stop the user then taking that file, copying it to a USB memory stick at home? Well, you can't really. It's like the file's on their computer at home. While the file exists on their locally attached computer, the file will stay under that enterprise control. But as soon as they copy it to a USB memory stick or a USB hard drive or some sort of external media or network file share, it'll give the user a warning saying, this file is currently under enterprise control. Copying it to this location means it won't be under enterprise control, but it'll allow them to do that. Okay? You would use something like Active Directory Rights Management to control the content of documents that you need to control in work folders. But you can do that automatically with file server classification. Now I'm going to demo this. Please work. So I'm going to log on as Alan. That's a great name. Yes, sign out anyway. So, excellent. So here I have the file server resource manager. And these have got a few items already set up, pointing to my work folder server. All right, if I go in here, please be configured, control panel work. Very good. So I'm logged on now as user Alan. Alan is connected to server 03, which is the original one. This is server 03 over here. Notice I have 100 megabyte hard limit quota set on the work folder server, and that's an automatically applied per folder work folder server. Work folders knows that quota's applied, and look, it doesn't tell me that there's currently 254 gig available to me. No, it tells me I have 99.9 meg available to me, because that's how much I have implemented in the file server quota. Here. All right, so it's smart enough to know that. So you can limit the amount of data the users synchronize like that. File screening. So I've also implemented a file screen. I said block all file and videos, okay, that are in the work folder server. So let's say I go in here and I create a new file, music.mp3. It's just looking at the file extension. Okay, so I've got a music file here. Hey, I want to listen to this music at work and at home. I'll just copy it to my work folder folder share. That way I can listen to all my music wherever I am. Okay, so So I'm going to copy this MP3 into this folder here. Bang. Did you see what happened in the background? It synchronized and then it went one file with errors. It's saying it can't upload that file because access is denied. All right? Sometimes, and I've only seen this work a couple of times, you also get a notification down here in the status bar where it said there's one error that has occurred synchronizing this file. Also notice because the file hasn't synchronized, it's not green, which means it's not under enterprise control, right, which is why it's still black. Okay. I should point out this too. There's some great tick boxes here for the users. You know, synchronize file over metered connections and synchronize even roaming. So if you're on a 3G or 4G connection and Windows knows that it's a 3G or 4G mobile connection, it won't synchronize the file, hence not burning up all their data bandwidth. They can turn that on if they want in here. And there's even a nice button there that you can email text support. File server classification. So I have a file classification rule here that, here we go, rules here, is basically pointing to, again, to the work folder share, e work folders, classifiers, uses a content classifier, and goes, if the word confidential is in the file, classify this as having a high impact, all right? That's the classification rule. It's applied to the folder. Again, E users, the action is to expire the file, but you can also use RMS, Active Directory, Rights Management Encryption, or you can use custom. I think you can even launch PowerShell commands, so if you can do something very tricky with the file. But we're just going to expire it, and expire it just means it's going to move that file out of that folder and put it somewhere else. And it's going to do it, run continuously on new files. So it's looking for the word confidential. Let me just open this folder here. Just going to create a document here. Secret.txt. I plan to buy Nokia before I leave Steve. This is confidential. Oops. So let's say someone called Steve was planning to buy a company. And he put the word confidential in there. Well, I'm going to copy this file over here. I'll move it into my work folders folder. Bang, the file there is copied over. Now, what's happening is the file server content classification saw that that file is written there, actually opens the file up, looks at the content, does a keyword, bang, there it goes. Did you see it disappeared? Whew, I was worried about that. But it looks for the word confidential and went, hey, it's got the word confidential. I have an action associated with that word, and it moved the file. You could have Active Directory Rights Managed Encrypt it. Very useful if you have ADRMS deployed in your organization. And it basically means that what you can do is that if users are working on information at home on their home device that is of a highly confidential, if you have some sort of legal requirement, you can classify those files and treat them in a special way, all right? Basically meaning you can do whatever you want with that information. Now notice, however, that file doesn't automatically delete here on the client itself. It will take, again, about 5 minutes for the client to realize that file has been deleted on the file server, and then it will push that delete back down. Now I'm not gonna wait here for 5 minutes. But basically, it'll push replicate it, and then in the background, it'll watch poll periodically to say, is there any changes on the file server? Is there any changes on the file server? Meaning that if I have an iPad with this app installed and I make changes here, and I also have it on my Windows 8.1 Surface RT, right, it takes about 5 minutes for that change to then trickle out to all the other clients. So you can have multiple clients pointing to the same work folder share, but just remember it is still a one-to-one. One user can only be pointed to one share at the same time. They can have multiple devices, but each one of those devices is still just one-to-one. Okay, home stretch. Getting started, so what do you need to do? There's a URL in these slides. So I'm gonna say these slides, there's a lot of hidden slides in this slide deck, so definitely try to grab and download a copy of this, because there's a whole bunch of extra information and URLs in here about work folders information. The first thing you need to do is build a Windows 2012 R2 file server. Just a single one to get started, okay? Start playing with it like that. Add the file server role. I wasn't going to show you how to add a file server role because it's just go add features, file server role, work folders feature. It's pretty bland. Set up the work folder share. Remember, you have a new share type. You need to set up that share on the work folder server. You need to somehow get the client software on the user's machine. So Windows 8.1 will have this out of the box. Windows 8.1 RT will have this out of the box. Windows 7 will have it as a downloaded separate agent, and the iPad will come out as an app. Okay, so you need to get the client. But there you go. And the user does need to be in a member of a security group, and you need the SSL certificates. But this is what you need. It's not too hard. Like I said, if you really wanted to sit down and had everything set up, it would probably take less than, well, you saw how long it took me to set up a work folder share. It was pretty quick. All right, and in the DNS, like this is a 75-minute session, and I set up a work folder share and the auto discovery internally in less than that time. Takeaways: get your users access to their data wherever they are. Don't start, you know, users right now when they access a file probably email themselves a copy of that file to their personal email and work from it at home, and then when they're at home, they email it back to their corporate email address. That's just an absolute nightmare. Give them an easy way to transfer their file. Stop using the email server as a file transfer agent. Start using work folders as a way for users to easily be able to access information from at work, at home, on their device, out in the field, wherever. It is pretty simple to deploy, use, and manage. You don't need a complicated SharePoint backend. You just need a file share. If you want to use this internally, you can just use this internally for the devices that are connected to your internal Wi-Fi. But publishing it on the internet's not that hard as well. All right, it's just a reverse HTTP proxy that you need to expose on the internet and have it route into your file servers. You can use your existing file servers. You don't have to go off and have a massive file server infrastructure. Remember, this is just a separate role for your existing file servers. All right, just like if you have Windows file servers in your organization. So you upgrade your existing file server to 2012 R2, you just get this goodness out of the box. But remember, and I showed you this in the demo, you still keep control of your data. This is the key feature of this product. You're not giving your data over to a third party. You're not giving access to that data to a third party. You know, they might be very trustworthy, but if someone comes up to them with a warrant or something like that, you know, they have to give that data over to, you know, the legal authorities. This is all kept on premise. I'm not saying you wouldn't do that if it was on premise, but it's under your control, and you know who and when is accessing your data. Then, here's a whole bunch of links. All right, you obviously aren't going to write it down. Like I said, download this slide deck. There is heaps of information about PowerShell, work folders, how to deploy a lab. Tech Ed North America sessions there. And I am 7 minutes early, so I'm more than happy to answer any questions. Other than that, what I will say, though, if you want to learn more about Workplace Domain Join, which is authentication on devices such as iPads and Windows RT devices, there is a session, last session on Friday, called The Identity Jigsaw Puzzle by Carol. It is in Arena C. I'd highly recommend you go to that because that works very ADFS and authentication around domain join works really closely with work folders. So you can implement two-factor authentication with work folders if the users are connecting outside. Pete Calvert here, who you know came up on stage before, apparently he has another work folder session tonight. Here. So last work. So if you really love the work folders and you want to know more about work folders, yes, there is another work folder session today. Last session today. Come back here. It's also in Arena 2. So get some great information about work folders, more information about work folders, because I didn't cover everything about work folders. But go to that session as well. I'm happy to open up to questions. Other than that, thank you for attending. Follow me on Twitter, go to my website. I hope you have a great Tech Ed.